ladies for all who came yesterday. That was, and it was just a wonderful time. Mrs. Gemmer did such a good job putting all that together. So appreciative. Okay, so we are going to talk about a little further into discipline from the Lord. But this is how God uses other people. So if you turn to Hebrews 12, and we're going to read verses 12 to 14. And I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, "So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord." And I was thinking about, you know, where Jesus talks about, you know, a lot of people, they like to point out the sins of others. So he says, you know, how can you look at someone and say, there's a toothpick in your eye when you have a telephone pole in your eye? That's another translation. That's my favorite translation. It's like, can you not see the difference there? Like when you have stuff in your own life, it's easy for us to be clouded to our own sin. You know, it's a lot of times if we keep doing the same sin, then we keep denying that we're actually doing it. We start justifying what we're doing and we think that it's okay. And the Lord is like, and we know the Lord is telling us, hey, this isn't right, but we just keep ignoring it. And when we do that, sometimes when we ignore the Holy Spirit inside of us, he'll use other people to say, hey, this is wrong and you need the Lord's help in your life, right? Do we ever like discipline? No, we do not. But as we read last week, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And we need that righteousness in our lives. Amen? Okay, so if you would turn to Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to start at verse 15. And I'm going to read this out of the English Standard Version. It says, "Now, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, then take with you one or two others, that by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." And I want to read this commentary for that. Jesus provides the proper method of confronting, correcting, disciplining, and restoring a professing Christian who sins not only against God's standard of conduct, but against another member of the church in a private manner. Neglecting Christ's instruction will spiritually compromise the purity and purpose of a congregation and can destroy a church's effectiveness. The purpose of church discipline is to protect God's reputation, to guard the moral purity and doctrinal integrity of the church. This discipline is also aimed at saving members who drift away from the path of righteousness and restoring them to Christ-like character and behavior. The offender must first be confronted and challenged privately about his or her actions. If the person listens and responds positively, he or she must be forgiven. If the offender refuses to acknowledge and change his or her behavior after being confronted by the first individual or the one offended, and by one or two others if necessary, then the issue should be brought to the local church community. If the person still refuses to change, they must be released to their own way as a pagan, like one who is not part of God's kingdom, because they have refused Christ's mercy and broken their relationship with him. This does not mean that people should treat the offender with cruelty. And this is really crucial in the body of Christ. but the person should not be given the right to church membership and should be removed from the congregation. So a lot of times, when people get dealt with and they need to leave the church because of sin in their lives and they refuse to repent, and that's happens very, very little in the body of Christ, mainly because in our day and age, not a lot of people like to be dealt with in general. And so the church doesn't really like to deal with sin. A lot of the church would rather just ignore issues than to actually deal with sin. And so what we get is people who have been dealt with in the wrong manner. And so they're hurt and they're offended by the way they were dealt with in the past. And so they really don't want to be dealt with anymore. And so we have this string and this system that goes through the body of Christ. It's really not right, because we serve a holy God, and he wants us to be like him. And so every day he is speaking to us, this is right and this is wrong. And he teaches us through his word. So like, you know, before you were saved, you were one way. And after you got saved, God is molding you into another way. So like, I like to give big examples at school to kind of get the kids' attention. And so I was in class one day and I told them, okay, what if I lied about one of you and told the other person this and this? And I gave a real extreme example, you know, so they would remember what I was saying. And they were like, oh my gosh, Mrs. Peterson, you know, so they're like, you would do that? No, no, this is an example. And I tell them, well, would one of you come to me and say, that's not right? Or would you go tell another person and say, did you hear what Mrs. Peterson did? Can you believe what she did? That's terrible. You know, like, so I was teaching them how the process of confronting another believer works. If you know that that person is sinning, then you go to that person in love. But if you don't really love them, you're not going to go help them. You're going to go to someone else because you want to justify your own sin. And so if all the attention is pointed on someone else's sin, then your sin doesn't look that bad, does it? Right? Okay, so it goes on to say, this practice of maintaining purity in the local church is important not only in areas of sin and immorality, but also in cases of false teaching and unfaithfulness to the original New Testament message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church discipline must be carried out with an attitude of humility, love, regret, and self-examination to ensure that those who would confront the individual are not also guilty of some offense against God or the church. And I want you to turn to Job chapter 4. Because this is, so a while back I taught on Job. And it's amazing how you think you have friends who know you and they're going to help you in your life. And everything, you know, everything's going right in your life. But as soon as things get bad, then suddenly they want to tell you why it's bad in your life. And so this is an example of what we should not do as the body of Christ. Okay. So Job chapter 4. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied to Job, will you be patient and let me say a word? For who could keep from speaking out? In the past, you have encouraged many people. You have strengthened those who were weak. Your words have supported those who were falling. You encouraged those with shaky knees. So Eliphaz is acknowledging that Job was the one who helped other people. When they were down and out, when they had problems, when they were going through trials and tribulations, Job was always there for people. And then he goes on to say, but now when trouble strikes, you lose heart. You are terrified when it touches you. Doesn't your reverence for God give you confidence? Doesn't your life of integrity give you hope? Stop and think, do the innocent die? When have the upright been destroyed? My experience shows that those who plant trouble and cultivate evil will harvest the same. And you know, you think this is all really nice, right? Because he's giving Job all these compliments about how great he is. But then he finishes with, by the way, you reap what you sow. So apparently you've done something wrong in order for you to receive this kind of punishment, because there's no way that you're going through this without you having done some kind of sin. What Eliphaz does not discern is that it is Satan who is trying to destroy Job's life. And that's what we need to understand in the body of Christ, is we may look at someone and the Bible does say you reap what you sow. So we may look at someone's life and think, oh man, they're going through so much trial and tribulations. They must be reaping what they've sown. They must have sown evil somewhere in order for them to reap this kind of evil. They must have done that, right? Isn't that our response sometimes? But what we don't know is God has a special plan for each person, and the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. And when he sees an anointing on someone's life, he goes after the anointing. He doesn't go after someone who's not going to make an impact for the Lord. He's already got them. He already knows they're not going to do anything. He doesn't care about them. He's going to go after specifically those he sees the anointing in. Amen. That's why we have to be vigilant in our prayers, in our faith, in our relationship with the Lord. That's why we have to know God's word and stand against the powers of the enemy, because the devil's already been conquered. We have authority over him. We have faith in Jesus Christ, the name above all names. But when we put our focus on the issue or the problem or the attack of the enemy instead of on Jesus Christ, that's when he gets into our lives and we start thinking there's no way out of this, right? Okay, so Galatians 6:1. I'm just going to read this to you. It says, brethren, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And this is really important because I have noticed that, especially when I was not very spiritually mature, more in my younger days, I would see people doing something wrong and I would think, oh, that's so terrible. I would never do something like that. Psh. Might as well throw me off a bridge, I'm telling you. Because every single thing that I would be like, I never would do that, I did it. And I would be like, geez, that is terrible. Why am I doing this? Because I was judging wrongfully. And I was thinking their sin was so bad. So bad. And I was so righteous that I would just never do something like that. And then I ended up doing the same thing. And sometimes worse, you know? And that really, God showed me when I read that, was like how easy it is to be tempted. You know, it's kind of like if you're telling someone to not eat this certain food all the time, you're as a dietitian, you're saying don't eat this certain food. I read this story of this lady who she's a registered dietitian, like a, you know, they teach people how to eat nutritiously and how to, according to what they're going through in their life. And she was like, and she's a Christian. She said, for a long time, I was doing my job and just telling people what to do and what to do. And she's like, the more I would tell people what to do and what to not do, the more that I would start doing what I should not do. I was telling people, don't eat this and don't eat that. And then I was doing it. And she's like, and then I started like really getting just my health was going downhill and things were wrong. And she's like, here I am sitting telling people as a nutritionist what they need to eat, and I am suffering. And they can tell, they can see it on my body. They can tell I'm not doing well. And she's like, at that point, I realized that it's a spiritual matter as well, that I needed to repent. And so she did, and God transformed her life. And her testimony is so awesome. But that's how it is, because we see things. They're just all these physical things that we go through. We don't see often the spiritual side of things. And that's what Eliphaz did not, he didn't see that. He saw Job deserving what he got. And that's what we have to discern, is we see people going through things, but What are they actually going through? What's going on in the spiritual realm? Amen. And then I'm going to read Romans chapter 14 if you turn there. I'm reading this out of the NIV. So just try to follow along as best as you can. Verse 1, accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Verse 10. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. So do you see how easy it is to judge others based on what they're doing on the outside? So like if you came over to my house and you were a vegetarian and I purposely served a bunch of steak, you'd probably be like, okay. You might not say anything, but you might think that's a little rude, right? If I was like, we're not having anything else, we're just having steak. Like that would just be kind of rude. I like to think about people when they come over. Like I know certain people who are Jewish, like they eat a kosher diet. They're Christians, but they still eat a kosher diet. And so if I'm eating with them, I purposely will not eat certain things if I think it's going to offend them. Some of them are totally okay. It doesn't bother them. But some of them are still stuck in they have to eat that way. And they feel like that's biblical, you know, and that's between them and the Lord. You know, I know that, like, Jesus gave Peter a vision and put all of every unclean animal down on a sheet. And Peter was, like, stunned that God would do that. Jesus was like, kill and eat. And Peter's like, no way. And it's amazing to me. I'm thinking, Peter. And it's funny because every time Jesus talks to Peter, it's three times. And he's like, Peter, kill and eat. And he's like, no, Lord. He's like, Peter, kill and eat. And he's like, no, Lord, I've never touched any unclean thing in my life, which is probably not true. but anyway, it's just so funny because we do that with a lot of things that God shows us. God may show us things like 20 times. We laugh at Peter three times, but I'm sure that God has probably told me certain things like 20 times. I'm not even joking. And I mean, I am kidding because it's funny. But this is kind of the way our lives are in the spiritual realm. You know, we look at things and we look at other people and we think that our law of our lives should be their law in their lives. And if they're not following our standard and our idea of what the Bible says, then we look at their lives and we automatically judge they are not Christians. They're not saved. They're not serving the Lord. God needs to deal with those people. We automatically do that. And that is not always our place, right? Especially in social media. You know, it's amazing. Have you guys ever seen the post go through Facebook where you see a half-eaten apple facing you, and then on the other side, it's a clean, beautiful apple, and there's a mirror behind it? So everybody on social media that you post, they're seeing that clean, beautiful apple. They're not seeing the other side that's already half-eaten. And that's kind of like when we put things on the internet and when people put things on for us to see, we're only seeing the beautiful, good side because it's only the parts that they want us to see or that we want to show others, right? When I was at Encounter for the women's Encounter last year, they played this video that was kind of a funny video. And it was a song, and it had this lady who was, she was posting all of these beautiful pictures of her house and her family and all these fun things they were doing. But then in the background, you saw a little picture of like one part of her room of her house. And then the rest of it was a disaster, just a complete disaster. And the song is like, the lady's singing, I want to be just like so-and-so. Look at her house and look at how pretty it is and look at her shoes. And it's funny because at one point she's this lady that's posting the pictures. She's in a robe and she's not dressed and her hair's not even washed and anything. And she has these new shoes and she's posting a picture of her new shoes. And so you see the whole thing and you're like, whoa. And it's just like that's how we are. You know, and then so we see those people lives, but then there's some people that post pictures of the worst side of their lives. Their whole life is going fine, but they post one picture that says, I don't want to be here anymore. My life is terrible. Nobody understands what I'm going through. I'd rather just die. And so we see that and we judge that person based on that one thing. Not so all of the rest of their life might be okay, but then we look at that and think, oh, that's terrible. How could they post something like that? Man, they must live a really screwed up life to post something like that. Instead of, hey, this person needs help. They're reaching out because they need help. They're posting that because they're being honest with how they're feeling and what they're going through. And yet That's how we have come to judge people in our society. We've come to judge them based on every single post that they have instead of knowing them as people. Amen. It's really sad. Okay, if you turn to Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "For freedom Christ freed us. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. I testify again to every man who is circumcised that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You have been cut off from Christ. Whoever of you are justified by law, you have fallen from grace." That is just incredible. "For we through the Spirit by faith eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith which works through love." And so Paul is writing this, but I want you to go back to chapter 2 where he talks about the Judaizers. Verse 1. I don't know if it says it in this particular version. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 4. "This happened because false brothers were secretly brought in." And this is ESV, but in certain translations, the false brothers says Judaizers, okay? "Who sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." So a Judaizer were those Jews who believed in Jesus, but they believed that you had to strictly obey the law to the letter. So if you were a Gentile and you got saved through Jesus Christ and they knew you, they would tell you, "Well, yes, you got saved, but you still need to follow the law because Jesus followed the law. So you need to follow the law." So they put people in these prisons of what God did not want to happen. This is what Jesus was wanting to deliver them from, was the bondage of the law. Because grace, Jesus gave us grace. God gave us grace when Jesus died on the cross. He gave us mercy. There is nothing that we could ever do to deserve that. And so we could try to keep every single letter of the whole law, every single tidbit, every single word, we could follow it to the letter. And it would never be enough. And so that's why Jesus had to die on the cross. So what we have to do is realize that when people come in, we have to be careful that we don't do the same thing in our lives. Amen? We Christians like to argue about what we believe is holy and what is not all the time. If you want to get a Christian into an argument, just ask something like, "Well, do you believe drinking is a sin?" Oh my goodness. You're going to be on that trail forever, you know, and it's not worth arguing over. Okay. If you read the Bible, you know what is sin and what is not sin. If you have to argue with somebody what is sin and it is not sin, that is a waste of your time. Paul and Peter talk about repeatedly, that is a waste of your faith. It is a waste of your time. So just like Judaizers of that day, we can find ourselves creating a law of our Christian traditions and ignoring what Jesus actually said to do. For example, we may shun believers for missing church one Sunday, but then ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit that is telling us to go minister to those believers. What if they need their faith strengthened? What if they are sick and they need help? What if they are so frustrated at work or with their spouse that they don't even want to be around anyone? Maybe they're having a hard day. We've all been there, right? We've all had those moments. And we find a lot of Christians starting off where their faith is strong, but then when they start going through things, they get into this, "Well, nobody really loves me. I'm going to church and nobody really cares about me." Have you guys ever thought about that? Nobody really knows what I'm going through. We should never listen to that because it's just a lie of the enemy, right? But if you are a new Christian, the devil is going to do whatever he can to get you to stop believing in Jesus Christ, to stop believing that people love you. But as Christians, we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit when he says, hey, you need to go see that person. That person is suffering. They're going through a hard time. You need to go spend time with them. You need to pray for them. You need to love them. And I just keep thinking about how Eliphaz and all of Job's friends, they went to him, and instead of listening to the Lord, what was actually going on, they just made automatic assumptions that there was sin in Job's life. They just made automatic assumption that he probably deserved this. And if we go to people and we need to encourage them and we need to pray for them, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. We can't correct someone and discipline someone without the Holy Spirit. If we try to do it on our own, then we can't see into the spiritual. We will only see the physical, just like social media. If you're in the spiritual realm, you can see the other side of the mirror. You can see that person's life that only God can see. But if you're in the physical, you're only going to see the good side of the apple. You're only going to see the things that that person wants you to see. But in the spiritual realm, there is a special kind of discernment and a special kind of knowing that the Holy Spirit says, hey, this person is really going through this. The enemy is attacking them right here. And you need to stand for them. And so that's what our job is as the body of Christ. We need to help each other. Amen. This is not meant to be a solo faith. This is a body of believers. We are the body of Christ. Amen. I'm going to close with one more scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And by the way, I read out of ESV. I don't think I told anyone that. And this is also ESV, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint as judges those who are least esteemed in the church? I speak to your shame. Is it true that there is not even one wise man among you who shall be able to judge between his brothers? But brother goes to the law against brother, and before unbelievers at that. And this is really crucial in our faith. So often people like to just, at the drop of a hat, something goes wrong and they like to sue another person. And we as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we may think that that's kind of an extreme example, but if we do not love each other and do not have a relationship with each other, then something like that can happen. And we can start thinking the wrong thing to the point where we would take another Christian to court over a small matter that could have been settled in the church, right? Now, there are certain things where if someone sins and it is against the law of our land, that should be dealt with in the law of our land. But there are certain things where I think this is so interesting how Paul asks, is there not a wise man among you who shall be able to judge between his brothers? And that is really sad. But isn't that amazing how that's probably prevalent in most of the body of Christ? In a lot of churches where things could be dealt with and people could be helped and issues could be resolved, sin could be dealt with, except because there are no wise men there's no person who's truly listening to the Holy Spirit and seeing the spiritual realm, then that's why these kind of situations don't ever get resolved. And if they don't get resolved, then that's what opens the church to destruction. That's what destroys bodies of believers all around the world. And that's what we need to be strong against. Amen. If you have something against someone, even in here, in this room, if you have something against someone, you need to be able to go to that person. You need to be able to say, hey, that is not right. Or maybe you think it's not right, but you don't know what that person is going through. Okay? Just like Job. All right? So it's important to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what He is saying to you. Amen? All right. That is all I have today. And I just want to encourage you, not only should you go to someone if you feel like you should, but do not ever go to someone without the love of God in your heart. Because you are going to destroy your relationship with that person. I have watched in my own personal life relationships be destroyed because Christians go to each other, not going to each other in love, but going to each other out of hatred and bitterness because they're offended at that other person because they wronged them, but they just want to tell them off. They don't actually want that person to repent. And that is not something you should do. That's something any of us should do. All right, you may stand and we'll pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we come before you as a body of believers, and we do ask you, Lord, that you would forgive us, Father, in Jesus' name. Any offense or any bitterness that we have toward one another, help us, God, to just let that go. Help us to forgive in Jesus' name. Lord, we do thank you that you are our rescuer. You are our redeemer. And just like the song we played earlier, you are so good, Father. You are so, so good. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are healing relationships. You are mending what has been broken. You are establishing new friendships that need to be made, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we trust in you. And Father, I pray that you would bless each and every person here, healing those who are sick. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, you're dismissed. If you need prayer, we are always here for you.